This morning to turn to the book of John chapter 20 and also the book of John chapter 21. In chapter 20 we'd like to read verses 19 and verse 26, and then we want to read the first 14 verses of John chapter 21. John 20 verse 19, then the same day, that is day of the resurrection, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 26, and after 8 days, counting the Sunday, so it's a week later, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And then John 21, we'd like to read the first 14 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this wise, or after this manner, showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he answered unto them, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which would be John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, or about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now, what we've read here is three post-resurrection appearances of Christ to the disciples. The first two in John chapter 20 occurred in Jerusalem. The first being the very Sunday of the resurrection. In the evening, we see that in John 20 and verse 19. And we are specifically told in verse 24 that Thomas was not there on that occasion. So, on the night of the resurrection, Jesus Christ appears to the disciples, minus, of course, Judas, minus, of course, Thomas. The second appearance was a week later, and we see that in verse 26. And at that appearance, of course, Thomas was available or was present. In John chapter 21, we have the third appearance, and we are specifically told in verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. The other two times, of course, we just read in John chapter 20. Now, this third appearance of Christ involved seven of the disciples. We see that in verse 2. And it took place at the Sea of Tiberias. We see that in verse 1. And in John 6 and verse 1, we are informed that the Sea of Galilee and the Sea of Tiberias are one and the same. So what we have here in John 21 took place at the Sea of Galilee. This, of course, is about 60 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So from John 20 to John 21, we are now 60 miles. So we read here in verse 1, after these things. So there was some time that passed. They had to have time to go from Jerusalem to Galilee, being about 60 miles. Why did the disciples go from Jerusalem to Galilee? Why did they do that? Well, the reason for that, of course, was Jesus, back in Mark chapter 14 and verse 28, said, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." And in Mark 16 and verse 7, remember the angel at the empty tomb said to the women, he said, "Go your way. Tell the disciples that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." So we want to look at these verses and the surrounding verses. We want to center our thoughts today around these three appearances of Christ, and then, of course, make personal application to ourselves. But first of all, notice the three appearances that we read of two in John chapter 20, and then we read of the third appearance in John 21. Consider first of all the circumstances of each of these appearances. Concerning the first appearance, we read in John 20 and verse 19 that the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled. And then we are specifically told for fear of the Jews. So the disciples are assembled together in the evening. There was fear. There no doubt was intimidation. They no doubt were at their wits' end. They really didn't know what to think. There was confusion. There no doubt was a disturbance in their minds. They were very, very unsettled. They no doubt were worried. To some degree had perhaps a spirit of defeat about them. And no doubt there was much reluctance amongst this group. That's the first appearance. Now, concerning the second appearance, we read in verse 26 of John chapter 20 that after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Now, Thomas, like the other disciples a week before, was really having a struggle making what he believed fit into what he was experiencing. We've all been there. We believe one thing, but we have trouble sometimes fitting what we believe into what we're experiencing. Now, that was the case a week earlier with the disciples. And a week later, that, of course, is still the case with Thomas. He's having a very difficult time fitting in what he believed with what he was feeling at the moment. And then concerning the third appearance, which was in Galilee, the disciples have been waiting. They're waiting for Jesus. And they are expecting something to happen, but nothing was happening. We've all been there. We're waiting. We're expecting something to happen, yet nothing's happening. And the disciples, perhaps a little impatient, perhaps they're growing restless, they're becoming weary of waiting. And Peter in verse 3 says, I'm going fishing. In other words, I've waited long enough. And the other disciples said, we'll go with you. Now, these were experienced fishermen. They knew how to fish. They, no doubt, used much effort that evening. They were very skilled. And yet we read, they caught nothing, or not a thing. So now, they fished through the night. The morning has come. There was, no doubt, a feeling of futility. There, no doubt, was perhaps a feeling of failure. There certainly was a need. They needed to eat, and they caught nothing. Having fished through the night, they no doubt were tired. Having caught nothing, they no doubt were frustrated. They no doubt were disappointed. They were disheartened. And they are discouraged. So those are the circumstances of each one of these appearances. Now you also notice that in each appearance, Jesus came and met them where they were. In verse 19 of John chapter 20, we read, came Jesus and stood in the midst. In verse 26, concerning the second appearance, three of the most encouraging words that you'll ever read, then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. And then in John 21, concerning the third appearance, we read in verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore. Three times, Jesus came and met them where they were. Now, when Jesus comes and meets us where we are, that immediately brings us into the realm of blessings. That immediately brings us into the realm of privileges. If Jesus comes and meets you where you are, you immediately have privileges. You immediately have opportunities available to you. But you'll notice that Jesus not only came and met them where they were, But in all three instances, he showed himself. Now notice verse 14 of John 21. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself. Now that's more than then came Jesus. He came, and three times Jesus showed himself to the apostles. Now notice concerning this in John 20, verse 20. And when he had so said, that is, peace be unto you, he showed unto them his hands and his side. He showed unto them. Verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And no doubt Jesus is holding forth his hands. He's saying, behold my hands. He is showing himself. And then we read in John 21 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself. Three times, Jesus came and met them where they were. And three times, Jesus showed himself, or Jesus displayed himself. Jesus revealed himself. Jesus made manifest himself, and he made known himself. Now, what did he make known? What did he show? Well, notice in Acts chapter 3, or Acts chapter 1, in verse 3, referring to these three appearances, to whom also he showed himself alive. Three times Jesus came and met them where they were. Three times Jesus showed himself. What did he show? He showed himself to be alive. What a wonderful thing when Jesus comes and meets you where you are and shows himself to be alive unto you. Three times he did this with the disciples. Also, in each experience, there was a personal seeing of Jesus Christ, and there was a personal experiencing of Jesus Christ. In each appearance, the disciples were very much aware of the presence of Christ. He came and stood in their midst. We read in John chapter 20. Now, if he is standing in your midst, you are aware of his presence. They were aware. They not only were aware, they saw very clearly the person of Jesus Christ. They saw very clearly that Jesus Christ was alive. They also, in each case, they not only were aware of his presence, they not only saw his person, but in each case they heard his voice. In each case, he spoke. In each case, he spoke directly to them. And in each case, there was a knowing of Jesus Christ. They sensed his presence, they saw him, they heard him, and they knew. They knew him. In fact, we're told in John 21 and verse 12 that no man durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. I mean, they knew. They knew that it was Jesus Christ. In each case, no doubt, there was a feeling. On that Sunday evening in John 20, when Jesus came and stood in their midst, there they are, they're fearful, and he says, "Peace be unto you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples felt something, because we read in verse 20, then were the disciples glad. They were glad when they saw the Lord. The fear is gone. The intimidation is gone. It has been replaced with gladness, because they've seen. They've seen the Lord. So in each case, there was a feeling and an experiencing of the reality of the power and of the influence of a risen and living Christ. You notice in verse 22 of John chapter 20, again we see in verse 20 that they are glad, and then in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Don't tell me they didn't feel something, that they didn't experience something special that evening. Verse 27, he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless." Thomas felt something. Thomas experienced the Lord that evening. In John 21, they've been fishing throughout the night. The morning has now come, and they can look out on the shore about 100 yards away, and they see a figure standing there. And he speaks. They can't make out who it is, but when he speaks, they know, John says, "It's the Lord." And they felt something. They began to experience something. And as soon as Peter, of course, heard that it was the Lord, put his fishing coat on, he dove into the water and swam about 100 yards to get to shore. And then, of course, in verse 12, we see they are dining with Jesus Christ, and they are growing in a knowledge of Jesus Christ. My point is, in each incident, not only did Christ show up, but there was fellowship with Christ. In each incident, there was a deeper involvement with the risen Christ. In each incident, Jesus Christ became more pertinent and relevant to them, to their situation. We see also concerning these appearances that in each appearance, a great change was brought about. Three times Jesus appears. Each time his disciples are troubled. And as a result of him showing himself to them, and as a result of them seeing Christ, hearing Christ, knowing Christ, feeling and experiencing Christ, as a result of all these things, a change took place. A change took place in their circumstances. Their circumstances were immediately improved. But more importantly, a change took place in their own hearts and in their own minds. We see, as you read these three appearances, their turmoil was changed into peace. Their anguish was changed into relief. All because then came Jesus. All because he showed himself. All because they saw him. Their sorrow was turned to joy. Their affliction was turned to solace. Their disappointment was turned into fulfillment. Their discontent was changed into contentment. Their hopelessness. In all three cases, there's hopelessness. That first appearance, the disciples are shut in that building for fear of the Jew. And there is a sense of hopelessness. When Thomas came on the second time, there was a sense of hopelessness, at least in the heart of Thomas. And as they're waiting in Galilee, there was a sense of hopelessness. But in each and every case, Jesus showed up. Showed himself, they saw him, they experienced him, and hopelessness was changed in hope. And their darkness was changed into light. And their weakness was changed into strength. And their need was changed into provision. And all the uncertainty that they were feeling at each of these appearances was turned into certainty. And the discouragement they were feeling was turned into encouragement. And the defeat that they were feeling was turned into victory. Then came Jesus. And oh, what a difference Jesus makes. What a difference it makes. When Jesus meets you where you are and you see him, don't tell me that doesn't make a difference. And you begin to know him in a way that you didn't know him before. And you begin to feel him and you begin to experience him. That'll make a difference. That'll make a difference in your circumstances. And that'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in the way you look at your circumstances, and it'll make a difference in the way that you feel in your heart. In each of these three appearances, were not the disciples brought out from themselves? I believe they were. In each one of these appearances, the disciples were brought out from themselves. And oh, how many times that's all we need. We need to be brought out from ourselves. And each time Jesus did that. And also, each time they were brought out from their own human reasoning. I mean, that first Sunday evening, there they are locked in a room and they're thinking, their minds are going wild. All kinds of thoughts are rushing through their minds and most of them are not comforting thoughts. And Jesus comes and brings them out from their human reasoning. And oh, how often we need that. We need to be brought out from ourselves and we need to be brought out from our human reasoning. And what was the result of this? Did they not become more grateful? Certainly they did. Did they not become more passionate? I believe they did. Did they not become more zealous and more courageous and more determined and more resolved? You see, it changed them. Jesus came and they saw him. And they heard him. And they experienced him. And things changed. Things changed. That's what we so desperately need today. For Jesus to come and meet us where we are. And then for you and I to have an awareness of his presence, to be able to see him, to be able to hear him. And that'll bring about wonderful changes. Miraculous. Miraculous changes. Now we want to make some application of these three appearances to ourselves. Again, in each appearance we see that in one way or another it was very difficult and trying time. None of us are aware, even slightly, of all the needs that we have just as individuals. And you multiply that by however many people are here this morning, and there are more needs present than you and I can ever imagine. I mean, we could have each person stand up and tell of needs in their lives, and you might be surprised at some things that you hear. You might say, well, I didn't know that. The point is, we don't know. We just don't realize how many needs there are, how many cares, how many burdens, how many difficulties. People are going through difficulties, and I imagine everyone here has some difficulty in your life right now. And if you don't think you do, you're probably just not aware of it. But there's difficulties more than we know. There's problems. People say, oh, we got problems in the church. Oh, you've got more than you know. You see, because you got more problems than you even know. I mean, you individually have more problems than you even know about. The problems are innumerable. There are sorrows. There's distress. There are things that are overwhelming to us. There are trials and tribulations. There are pressures that weigh down upon us. Sometimes we find ourselves in the depths. Sometimes we find ourselves in places of doom, or we have a spirit of doom about us. We have a spirit of defeat. There are those who have disappointments. There are those whose lives are just filled with chaos and turmoil. And we're not talking about the world's problems. I'm talking about problems that are here right now. Things that God's people experience. There's anxiety. There are fears. There are storms. There are deserts. There are wildernesses. Sometimes we find ourselves in an empty place. There's just nothing there. Sometimes we're in a furnace. And sometimes we all get stuck. We get stuck in places that are not pleasant. And we get stuck there. And we don't know how to get out. But isn't it wonderful when Jesus comes and meets us where we are? I'll tell you, the way to get unstuck is to see Jesus. That'll get you unstuck. That'll get you unstuck every single time. To see Him. To hear Him. There are battles. There are struggles. There are obstacles. Everywhere we go, there's an obstacle somewhere. Standing between us and the Lord. There are valleys. There are crooked places. There are rocky roads. And on and on and on we can go. There are places of darkness. There's lonely places. But again, then, that second appearance, we read, then came Jesus. But in each case, not only did Jesus come, because Jesus is here. Wherever you are, Jesus, he's there. He's omnipresent. But the question is, do you see him? That's the question. Do you hear him? Do you experience Jesus Christ? Because in each one of these cases, that's what made the difference. Not just Jesus being there, but the fact that they saw him, the fact that he showed himself unto them. Each and every day of our lives, we need to be praying, Lord, I need you to show me yourself. I need you right now to show me yourself. What a difference. What a difference it makes when Jesus shows up and says, behold, and shows us, as we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, and shows us that he is alive. That he's not in the past tense. Don't live your life as if Jesus Christ is in the past tense. He's present. See him as alive. And oh, what a difference it'll make. And if you're here today without Christ, that is, there's never been a time in your life where you've seen yourself as a lost, hopeless, helpless, guilty, vile sinner. And you've never trusted in Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray that Jesus would come and meet you where you are. That he would meet you where you are right now. That he would open your heart, that he would open your eyes, and that you would see. Not only that you would see yourself for what you are, but you would see Jesus for who he is. The one and only Savior of sinners. I'm so glad. In 1972, Jesus came and met me where I was and saved my soul. Ever since that day, he's been coming, meeting me where I am. Every single day of my life, he does that. But many times I don't see him. But when I do, oh, what a difference it makes. So we need to pray that the Lord would open our eyes, that we would be able to see Jesus Christ. You see, when we see Christ, that brings us into reality. And if you don't see Christ, you're living a fairy tale. You're not in reality. But when you see him, now that's reality. That's reality. And that's when things, miraculous changes, take place. So God help us today. Whatever your need might be, may you know that Jesus has what you need. And may you know that Jesus will meet you where you are, and that you can see him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.